Today's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 27. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all but one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Thank you, Janet. Good morning. Welcome to Kairos Christian Church. If it's your first time, my name is Emerson. I'm one of the staff here at Kairos. And happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a really wonderful time with your families and friends. And I'm really thankful for the rain. I don't have to water my lawn anymore. Just use the natural rain to water my lawn. Praise the Lord. So this morning, we're going to continue our series on 1 Corinthians, titled, God Loves the Church. We followed up with, do you love the church? And we're going to be looking at chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. And this morning, this sermon title is Diversity, God's Plan for Unity. Diversity has been a very popular topic recently in the news, especially with President-elect Donald Trump. And, now that he's elected, people are worried because he has no political background. He has no knowledge. He doesn't understand how to run a government. He knows how to run business, but how about government? And so people are saying, I hear on the radio, that he needs to surround himself with really great a great cabinet, great political advisors. He needs to surround himself with really political savvy people in order to do well in government. And a few weeks ago, he started to pick his cabinet, and America, is starting to be afraid because the people that he's picking are very, are like him, right? White Republican men, lobbyists, and they're in the cabinet. But, this past Wednesday, New York Times, I was reading New York Times and LA Times, they're saying, there's a glimmer of hope because he's starting to make his cabinet, his advisors a little bit more diverse. There's this one lady who will be joining his cabinet, Betsy DeVos, for Secretary of Education. He's going to make South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, ambassador to the United Nations. And it's rumored that Ben Carson is, seriously considering being the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Right? So there's a glimmer of hope. Right? There's a glimmer of hope for our government. And this word diversity, it has a positive connotation, especially here in America, right? Especially in California, right? If a CEO has a diverse group of directors or management or even employees, we see this guy as, wow, this guy is open-minded, forward-thinking, right? He's being fair, equal opportunity, right? That's what we associate diversity with. But we celebrate diversity as a nation. know, in the kingdom of God, diversity is also celebrated. However, it's more than just being fair. It's more than just being open-minded. Right? In the kingdom of God, diversity is a matter of actually life and death. In the kingdom of God, diversity is God's plan for unity in the church. And without diversity in the body, there is no unity. And without unity, the body of Christ begins to fall apart, begins to break down. Just a little background. The Corinthian church was extremely spiritually gifted. Where you would equate them to maybe, you know, Bethel Church in Reading, Hillsong Church in Australia, Reality Church in Santa Barbara, or in San Francisco. So if you were a Christian back then, you would hear about the Corinthian church. They would perform amazing miracles. People would be raised from the dead. People would be healed of sickness, of leprosy, of blindness. People would prophesy over one another, speak in tongues, interpret tongues. This was the church to be at. Right, back in those days. However, this church became extremely arrogant, extremely prideful, and it created a lot of conflict. It created a lot of drama within that church. People who were more publicly gifted, their gifts were more in the public eye, they started to look down on those who didn't have such a public gift. And we call these lesser or weaker gifted people. And the weaker gifted people, what happens? They started to get jealous, right? They started to get insecure about themselves, and they said, "I wish I was like these other guys." Right? They started to feel insecure about themselves. And so Paul, in part of this letter, he addresses each group, right? Each specific issue, and he shares, right, how diversity. That you guys need, how diversity is such an important part of the body, that you guys need each other, whether you're really gifted or you're not as gifted. You need each other in the body of Christ. And diversity is such an important component to building unity in the church. And so this morning, we're going to look at how we should embrace diversity to build unity in the body of Christ. So the first one is, you matter to the body of Christ. The second point is you need the body of Christ. And the third point is God gifts the body of Christ, or God ordains gifts to the body of Christ. So the first point, you matter to the body of Christ. Can you turn to the person, to the people around you and say, you matter to the body of Christ? Okay. You all matter to the body of Christ. And it is important that the body of Christ be diverse in order to live and grow. And the question is, are you willing to accept that? Right? Even if your neighbor, if the people around you, the person sitting next to you, in front of you, they're more gifted, they're more publicly gifted, right? And you're not. Are you willing to accept the fact that you still matter to the church? You're important to the life of the body. If you're at AMI West, I shared the story. And in college, I worked with honeybees. Okay, and I would sit in a lab, and I would stare at a hive and watch them do this thing called the waggle dance. And they would just turn, turn, turn. And depending on how many times they turn, it points to how far the pollen was or how far the flowers were in comparison to the hive. Right, you see, honeybees are very social insects, right? And a hive will consist of one single queen, maybe hundreds of drones, and 20 to 80,000 worker bees, depending on how big the hive is. And the unique thing about honeybees is that diversity is key to survival. Each group or type of bee contributes to the growth of the hive. Queens, you know, all what they do is they lay eggs, right? That's all they do. They lay eggs. The drones are probably the most lazy of all the bees. They just fertilize, right? They fertilize the eggs. But they're important because if the drones aren't there, you know, you can't really have more bees. But the blood and the sweat of the hive are the worker bees, So many worker bees. Each, there's, you know, different types of bees for different tasks. Some bees, they protect the hive. Some bees protect the queen. Some bees, build the honeycomb. Some help produce honey. Some take care of the baby bees, right? Some go forage. There's so much to do, so much diversity within the hive. Everyone has a unique role. And Paul, he's encouraging the Corinthian church, but do the same thing. Embrace diversity because that is the key, right, to unity. In verse 15 through 16, Janet read this, but I'm going to just read it again. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Right? There were some Corinthians in the church who felt insecure, who felt that they didn't matter. And for some of us this morning, we feel like these group of Corinthians. We feel like the foot and the ear. And we're asking, how come I don't have that prophetic gift? How come when I pray for healing, nothing happens? How come when I pray for people, right, no one cries?
Yeah.
Right? And we're thinking, like, I can't play guitar, right? I can't sing, I can't lead small group, I don't have a great personality. Do I even matter to Kairos Christian Church? If I can't really contribute anything, do I matter? Can I help this church grow? And this morning, I want to tell you that all of you guys matter to Kairos Christian Church. You are needed. You are important. And Paul, he encourages the Corinthian church, and he's encouraging us too. And he paints the most widely used metaphor of the church. He says, you guys are like a human body. He tells the Corinthians, you guys are this human body. Not everyone can be an eye. Because if everyone was an eye, how can the body hear? Who would play that role? Now, if everyone was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Who would be able to smell things? And when we hear this, we think, oh, Paul is just, you know, giving these insecure people a pat on the back. Right? He feels sorry for them. He's going to kind of give them some encouragement. But I think Paul is sharing something a little bit deeper. Right? Paul, he's telling this church to strive for unity and not strive for uniformity. Right? Don't desire to be like this other person who you think is so gifted. You think, if I had these gifts, if I could be like them, I could minister better. I would be more effective within the church. You see, uniformity is when everyone acts the same way. It's driven by human efforts. It's based on personality. It's based on similarity. And uniformity has its benefits. Right in the beginning, when everyone's the same, when everyone's thinking the same way, doing the same thing, it's so easy to mobilize people like that. Everyone moves together because they act the same way. But let me tell you, uniformity cannot drive the church. If something is based on human effort, human actions, when you're running a church because everyone is the same, the church will not grow. Because eventually what happens with uniformity is that it creates division. It creates division. But unity celebrates diversity. It agrees that people need to be different in order to function. And it's through the Holy Spirit that people are unified. We look at verse 11. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. right? Unity, even though people are different, they're driven by one spirit. And it's through the diversity, it's through that unity, it's through that spirit that the church can grow and thrive. And if the body is given life through diversity of the body, then uniformity eventually kills the body. It does the exact opposite. Imagine if everyone knew how to prophesy, right? People would be really encouraged, but no one knew how to evangelize. Who would bring the people into the church? Right? If everyone knew how to heal people, our church would probably be the healthiest church in San Diego. But if no one knew how to teach, who would lay the foundation? Who would teach us theology, the doctrine? Who would teach us the Bible so that we can apply it to our lives? Right? You all matter. And so in the body of Christ, right, because you matter, I want to encourage you, right, just to continue to strive to minister to people. Figure out what your gift is. God has ordained a gift to everyone, each individual. And because you matter, you are important to the church, you have something to contribute. Right? Figure out what it is. I know we're all very young. We still don't know what we like, what we don't like, what we're gifted at. But Paul tells us to eagerly desire these gifts, strive to know what it is. And we do it through by participating in various amounts of ministry, right? Leading small group, doing hospitality, you know, doing worship, all these things. We need to strive for these things because you matter. We don't want to stand on the sideline. We want to be in the trenches with everyone. We want to participate. Right? At Kairos, we believe that everybody is a minister. Right? If everybody is a minister, if everyone can minister, then everyone has a gift that God has ordained for them. So let's eagerly seek it because you matter here at Kairos. The second point, you need the body of Christ. Right? Do you believe that you need the body of Christ? Right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you need all 150 people here at Kairos Christian Church? Right? Do you believe? Do you have that attitude? Do you have that heart? You know, diversity in the body, right? It's evidence of the wisdom of God. Each member needs the other members, and no member can afford to become independent. No one can. You see, when part of the human body becomes independent, it creates a serious problem in the body. Right? It creates a serious problem. You need everyone else. For example, you know, cancer occurs when a single cell goes rogue, when something's wrong with their DNA and there's a mutation that happens and it begins to multiply independently. It begins to multiply independently and uncontrollably, and thus, right, it creates cancer, it creates a tumor, and affects millions of people a year. And you have to remove it immediately, because if you don't, then it actually destroys the body, kills the human body. In a healthy human body, different members cooperate with each other and even compensate for each other when crisis occurs. And the instant any part of the body says to another part, I don't need you, it creates a serious problem. And there was a group of Corinthians that felt that they didn't feel like they needed the body of Christ, or they didn't need the majority of the body of Christ. And Paul, he refutes them and says, you cannot say that. You cannot say that. And in verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And this morning, I believe that actually a majority of us actually fall into this category, this group of believers, of Corinthians. Again, I mentioned that, you know, we're still a young church and we still don't know our gifting. And so I don't think what we're doing is we're lording our gifts over one another. I don't think we're saying, oh, you don't really have a gifting, I don't need you, right? Because we don't even recognize our own. And I think we're not that mean, right? We're all pretty polite people. We don't explicitly share that, but I think we do it in an implicit way. We do it through a way we receive ministry. And let me just explain that a little bit. Just with a story. Now, at the end, Kairos is part of a family of churches called AMI. Okay, and there are a lot, more than 10 churches in the United States and some overseas. And maybe once a year or every other year, we gather together for a conference. And at the end of each night, what happens is we invite all the senior pastors to line up in the front, right? And it's open time for ministry. People can go up, get blessed, get ministered to. And when the MC says, okay, let's begin, if you stand in the back, everyone starts swarming, right? Everyone's going to get ministry, and they all go to two pastors. Okay, it's extremely long line for these two pastors. And, you know, I understand because they're extremely gifted, right? They're very gifted in the prophetic. And people, you know, they want to be blessed through that. But every other pastor, some get 5, you know, some 10. Pastor Peter gets 20, you know. And people are like, yeah, we want these two pastors. We want that blessing. And so the MC, what they have to do is they come up. They're like, hey, guys, you know, we don't have a lot of time. Actually, a lot of you guys go and get ministered to these other pastors because they want to minister to you, right? They are gifted, right? They want to bless you. And so there's some obedient people that go, right? They say, oh, yeah, it is. You know, we want, you know, the type A people, yeah, efficiency, let's go. But the majority, they stay there. And they're willing to wait 2 to 3 hours just to get one prophetic word from these pastors. And I understand they're very gifted, but they desire it so much that they're willing to wait 2 to 3 hours just to get one prophetic word, thinking that prophetic word is going to just radically change their life. And I know some pastors in the past have expressed you know, they get discouraged by this. They get discouraged when, right, no one wants to get ministered by them. And it creates a division. You know, we've all had this natural bias of approaching certain people in our church or for ministry because of their gifting, right? Because they can prophesy over me, because they have, you know, they can pray and things happen. I get encouraged. I feel better about myself. They can minister to me better. Right? I do this all the time. Right? I want that blessing too. And what happens? We don't realize this. You know, what's a very innocent desire? What's a very innocent desire to desire ministry, to desire blessing, to receive really good things from God? It actually creates division. We start acting like this Corinthian church, and we have this hierarchy. We have this sense of spiritual elitism. Right? These people are able to minister to me, but these people cannot. I'll let them minister to me, you know, when I have to pray for, you know, the smaller things. Right? But when there's a huge need, I'm just going to go to the more gifted people. And we create this culture, right? You don't really matter to the body of Christ. And it stems from something so innocent, right? So non-threatening. And Paul, again, in verse 22 through 26, he refutes this attitude and says that this division does not belong in the body of Christ. He shares, you know, actually, those people who you think are weak, think that they don't really contribute, God thinks that they're indispensable. And when Paul uses that word, indispensable, it carries a lot of weight, right? When something is indispensable, it means that you actually need them, that you can't just toss them aside, because once you toss them aside, the body of Christ will fail. And Paul's encouraging us to have this attitude. And he's showing just how important this is. And he uses three comparisons. He says, the weak are actually indispensable, like what we talked about. The second, less honorable, we give special honor. And third, he says, the unpresentable we cover with special modesty. And for verse, let me just kind of explain that a little bit. The unpresentable, Paul is actually referring to the private parts of the human body. And he's saying, you know, you can't just go out and expose these things. So what you need to do is you need to take clothing, honorable clothing, just really well-made clothing that's given to kings. And what you do is you cover them up and you give them special honor. Because they matter. That's how much they matter to the body of Christ. And Paul, he's just emphasizing this, and he emphasizes this three times. He says they matter. Right? In order to have unity, we need to recognize that there's an interdependence here at Kairos, here within the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says that when one member suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We're all interdependent. We're all connected with each other. We need one another in the body of Christ. You know, I was on a bus tour in Boston, right? And it was one of those Asian bus tours that would travel the entire East Coast. And we would visit each state in like one day. And we would drive up and down. We arrive at Boston. And for me, this ruined what I think of Boston. Sorry, Ruth. It just really ruined it. I don't really like Boston because of this. And so what happened is we arrive, and when we go to Boston's Chinatown. And, you know, they're like, oh, this place is really good. There's so much seafood. And we go in, I see it looks extremely shady. That should have been the first red flag not to walk in. But they lay out this huge, you know, buffet worth of seafood, right? There's shrimp, there's lobster, there's crab, and we're just eating it up. Right? We're just eating it up because, I don't know, Chinese people really like seafood. And we're just eating it up. And next thing I know, in the middle of the night, I go to the bathroom and I get food poisoning. I start vomiting literally all night. I guess it's because I ate a lot of seafood. I just start vomiting and vomiting. And even in the morning when I get on the bus, I start vomiting in the bag, and it ruins everyone's trip because the whole bus smells like barf. But one thing I realized is that, you know, food poisoning affects the stomach, right? But I started to my head started hurting, right? I started shaking. Parts that I didn't know could hurt started hurting. And it was just a mess. But that is what Paul talks about. That when one member suffers, the rest of the body suffers. And when one is honored, the rest of the body rejoices. So as a church, how do we change our perspective? How do we change our perspective from a place of, oh, I only need the really gifted people, I don't need the rest of the body, to a place of needing the rest of the body, a place of that the whole body matters, right, to the church? How do we get to that place? How do we change our attitude? You know, in the church I attend back at home, there is this young man who, he always sat in the back of the church. This guy was, you know, the epitome of awkwardness. He was really quiet. He didn't like to talk. He didn't make eye contact. You try to approach him, he just kind of, you know, shift his shoulder a little bit not to talk to you. This guy was, he was awkward. Right? And so this was during a season where our church was really on fire. Our church, everybody wanted to serve. Everybody wanted to contribute to the body of Christ. And so my pastor, he said, I want to get this guy involved. Right? This isn't right. If everyone's kind of getting involved, this person sitting in the back, it just doesn't feel right. And so he approaches him and he starts to dialogue with him. And over a few weeks, over even months, they keep in contact. They start talking and they dialogue. And eventually, this guy's shell, you know, breaks. And he says, hey, Pastor, I really like teaching. My high school teacher really inspired me to teach, to do high school math. And so the pastor really hesitantly said, okay, well, do you want to teach Sunday school? Do you want to teach Bible study? And over time, he started to hear, wow, this person is really good at teaching. He makes the Bible come alive. He makes theology relevant, practical. It's so easy to understand what he's saying. I enjoy this class. You see, I believe in order to change our perspective, it starts with one thing. It may not be the only thing, but it starts with one thing. That's relationship. Right? It's not a matter of turning theological switch in your mind and say, okay, it's just going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to take time. It's going to take time for you to talk to all 150 people here at Kairos, right? The point is not, you don't have to be best friends with everyone, but trying to get to know them, to dialogue with them, to hear them out, to hear what they have to say. To serve with them, to live life with them in your small group, during prayer time, to be ministered by them, to minister to them, to know their life. And as you develop a relationship with them, at the core of it, what you're doing is you're loving this person. And as you love them more and more, as you grow deeper with them, what happens is you start to recognize through your conversations, wow, this person is really good at this. This person seems to have passion for this area. And what you do is you begin to push them, right? Not in an aggressive way, but you start to push them and you say, hey, I think you would be really good at this. Why don't you try this out? You set them up to succeed, right? That is honor. And 1 Corinthians 13:5, he says, love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Or we can say it like this, right? Love honors others, and it seeks the benefit of others. When we love our members, we start seeing that they matter to the body. We begin to push them, we begin to encourage them to contribute to the body. Right? They matter to you. They matter to the body of Christ. You know, God's desire is that there be no division in the church. Our diversity leads to disunity when people are competing with one another. But diversity leads to unity when each member functions according to God's will and recognizes, right, other people's roles. Right? You need the body of Christ. The last point, God ordains gifts to the body of Christ. You know, God orders gifts to the body so that despite everyone having different gifts, it works to bring greater unity within diversity. Right? That is his plan for the church. This is his plan and not our plan, because if it was up to us, we would rather strive for uniformity. We would rather have everyone be the same to grow the body of Christ. But God's plan is diversity. Everyone has a specific gift, a different gift. In the final section of this chapter, Paul sums up his previous point in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Right? And even as a human body is unified, whole, with many different parts, so is the body of Christ. And then he lists out a list of gifts in order, signifying that there's some sort of priority or hierarchy within the gifts in verse 28. And he says, in verse 28, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifting, gifts of healing, of helping, and of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. So there's a first, a second, and a third. And there's some sort of priority. In a 1 Corinthians commentary by David Guzik, he points out, you know, there is a priority for the gifts. Paul does list out some sort of priority when it comes to building a church. And oftentimes when we think of the word priority, we think whoever's first must be the most important, then second, then third. That's how we view priority. But David Guzik, he infers that, you know, priority doesn't necessarily mean that. In the kingdom of God, priority can mean the strategy of God. He has a strategic way. He has a specific plan of how to build the church. He has a specific order of sending people or using people to build, to give life to the church. Theologians as well as seasoned church planters believe this too. He mentions apostles. He mentions prophets. Then he mentions teachers and then the other gifts. You know, when a church is being built, when you want to plant a church, what you do is you send out apostles first to break ground. They're like the pioneer. They go in and they start establishing, they kind of survey the place, they start gathering people, all these things. And then there's the prophet who encourages the apostle and he learns how to hear from the Lord so that whether or not the apostle is doing the right thing, right? Maybe you should press forward or maybe you shouldn't. And then you send the teachers, and the teachers are the ones who lay the foundation. They lay the doctrine, they lay the theology for the people when they come into the church that you can start teaching them. And then the rest of the body comes in later, right? You may not use all of the gifts, right? The miracles, the gifts, the healing, but what they do is they help to build up the church. Right? There's a strategy. There's a specific plan to how God wants to minister to the church and give life to it. Now, I look at this, and it sounds tiring. We're working with people of different gifts, different personalities, different skill level, even coming from different culture. But we're all about having this multi-ethnic church. It's really cool. It's really hip. Right? But we don't realize actually how difficult that is. Right? Pastor Yukon says, you know, he's all about multi-ethnic church. His church, you know, Ethnos in San Diego was really multi-ethnic. He says it's actually really difficult. It's really difficult to have a church where there's different cultures as a body. You have to deal with things with, you know, like what Paul was dealing with, you know, inadequacy, arrogance, insecurity, drama, conflict, and all these issues surface simply because of a different background. Right? Wouldn't it be much easier to work with people who are just like you? It's so much easier. According to social activist and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he said, he is an archbishop, and he said something along the lines of what Paul said. He said, "How could you have a soccer team if all were goalkeepers? How would it be an orchestra if all were French horns? And if an orchestra just had French horns, it would sound nice. It would be so easy to put up a concert because all you have to do is probably print out one sheet of paper and put it on the stand. Everyone plays the same thing. It's easy. Rehearsal is easy. Practice is easy. But at the end of the day, what happens, it's just one large sounding French horn. But you take a French horn and you place it in an orchestra with violin, violas, with cellos, with timpanis, with oboes, with clarinets, even cymbals. And everyone recognizes, okay, this composer wrote this part for me. Right? What comes out, what plays out is unity. Right? People pay to hear unity when there's diversity involved. And it may be hard. It may be hard trying to get the violins and the oboes trying to blend with one another. But at the end of the day, with practice, it's worth it. That's what people pay to hear. Similarly, how could we be a church if everyone was an apostle? How could we be a church if everyone could only teach or only heal? The body of Christ is most effective, it's the healthiest, when there's diversity in the body. I just want to conclude with this. Paul ends chapter 12 with the phrase, "I know a most excellent way." And we look at, and it segues into chapter 13. This is where Paul talks about love. And he's saying, with all this diversity, with all this gifting, if there's no love, right? You can speak the tongue of angels. You can do all these things, all these miracles. But at the end of the day, if there's no love, it is nothing. Diversity can lead either to chaos or opportunity. Without love, diversity leads to chaos. And we look at the Corinthian church, and it was a mess. Right, we look even in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says, people were following Apollos. They were saying, "No, I follow Paul. No, I follow Peter. No, I follow Jesus." There's division. And there's division here in this chapter which we just read. Right, the people are fighting and arguing over gifts. We look in the news, right? We look in the news, and there's so much chaos. We look on Facebook and people are dropping F-bombs left and right. People are disagreeing each other and they sum up a person's ideas and philosophy of life down to one thing, down to who they vote for, and they say, "You are a racist. You are a racist." That's what happens when there is diversity without love. And I'm not saying that you can't disagree. We have a two-three party system. But when you're not willing to hear a person out, we're not willing to love them, to engage with them in a healthy way, in a loving way, that's what happens. There's chaos. But diversity with the love of Christ, it's a beautiful thing. It leads to opportunity. It allows people who don't know their gifts yet to safely explore. When they're trying to explore, the rest of the body saying, no, yeah, go try it. We encourage you. You seem that you're really good at this. We want to honor you. Please go. Contribute. Be part of the body. You can do it. Right, when people love one another, in Christ, they promote one another to use their gifts accordingly. They don't feel threatened. They recognize with love, when there's love with diversity, they recognize that there are other people in the body of Christ. There are other people in the body of Christ, and I need them, and they need me. That is diversity with love. Now, I want to encourage you, right, to embrace the diversity that God has ordained for the body of Christ, that he has ordained for Kairos Christian Church. Right? You matter to Kairos. You are a minister here at Kairos. You are important. At the same time, you need Kairos. You can't live church. You can't do church without the body of Christ. You are a minister, but you also need to be ministered to. Right? This is the beauty of the body of Christ. Right now, go be the body. Encourage one another. Get to know one another. Love one another. Right? Because you know, without love in diversity, there is no unity. And without unity, the body of Christ, you know, it fails. Right? Everyone matters in the body of Christ.